Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2. It should sound familiar. It's the coming of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. King David, are you going to come forward? Sorry, I'll go back to the word. Okay, hold on. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." A famous and one of my favorite Christian hymns by Christina Rossetti is called "In the Bleak Midwinter." We actually sang it, a few verses of it, over the Advent season. And the lyrics go as follows. "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart." It's interesting, really, because we get a bit carried away, I think, in the celebration of Christmas with gift giving and gift receiving. And it's important, I think, at the new year start to look back over all that we have received over Christmas and the year that had preceded us. Some of us got wonderful new clothes and new jewelry and maybe fancy electronics. Some of you decided you wanted furniture or toys or gadgets. Others of you might say that you have everything you need and instead enjoyed time with family and time off from hard labors of work and perhaps some good food. And you might, if you were so lucky to have had the resources to do so, you might have given things away, right? And some of which you might still be paying off, but at the same time, you might have gotten unusual gifts or special gifts to surprise your loved ones this year. And Christmas is often remembered as the season of giving. Today is Epiphany Sunday, as I've mentioned in the service, and that is celebrated on our church calendar. January the 6th, which is coming up, was the official feast day of Epiphany and commemorates the 12 days of Christmas. Did you know that? There are 12 days that we're supposed to celebrate Christmas. So if you've taken your tree down and your decorations, you were a little ahead of the game because you're supposed to leave them up until Epiphany. 12 days fully celebrating Christmas. And if you were here for the Christmas pageant in last year, not in this year, but in the year prior, you would have heard them tell the story of what the 12 days of Christmas represent theologically. When we think about these wise men, the kings, they were people who studied the stars. They searched for signs, and they looked for new ways that God and the Spirit and all things could be recognized and understood. For as I shared with the children, those who studied the stars believed that they didn't just appear randomly, that there were set patterns, the way the stars form the constellations, and that when they were awry or something different occurred, that there was a sign that needed to be taken seriously. And the wise men associated the northern star that guided them with the notion that something new and exciting had occurred. And when they realized that it would be a king, even as a young baby, they brought with them the very famous three gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Today is also the first Sunday of the new year, 2015. I don't know about you, but I try every once in a while to make resolutions. I try to be faithful and promising I might do more than I should to be skinnier or healthier or friendlier or a better daughter or friend or sister, whatever, right? We make resolutions, hopes and promises for the new year. And I'm going to move us into, just for a minute, the Gospel of John. When it starts, and you might have heard through the liturgy of today's service, John 1 tells us that in the very beginning, the Word of God was there. And then at one point in God's appointed time, the Word of God took on flesh and descended among the people. God's only begotten Son came into the world as the light. And this Word made flesh dwelt among us. And when we read the Gospel of John, it's very interesting because that's the telling, according to the Gospel of John, of Jesus' birth. And it's kind of different, if you think about it, from Luke, right? Which tells us about the shepherds and the angels and the manger and the room at the inn, or the no room at the inn, whatever you want to say about it, right? And it fascinates me that when John tells the story, he doesn't mention Joseph or Mary or even the donkey. Instead, he talks about the light. And yet, it was that very light, the northern star that appeared in the sky, that guided the wise men. John doesn't leave the kings out, in my opinion, because they are irrelevant. For certainly we know that they're part of Scripture and a very important part of our story. And if you heard Bob Wagner's reading from Isaiah, you know that the wise men coming was a fulfillment of the prophecy of old. For it says in Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And if you were listening carefully, it talked about how there were camels, right, that would bring these wise men with the wealth of the nations to the king. "Lift up your eyes and look around," Isaiah says. "And with them they came bearing gold and frankincense." These gifts were a sign of the prophecy that a king that only God could bring into the world was born. When we think about gifts at Christmas, I think it's very important to think about what God gives us. He gives us blessing after blessing. I mean, I always think at Thanksgiving we take time to list those things, right? The famous hymn that says, "Count your many blessings, count them one by one," right? But I think in the new year you can also spend time doing that, right? That we have been blessed. The Lord has given us so many wonderful things, things that we cannot even name if we tried. And the psalmist, who writes in Psalm 23 about the greatest gift, says that our cup runneth over. And that platters that will be set before us at a table with our enemies, which always surprises me, we shall be surrounded by mercy and goodness all the days of our lives. Have you ever played peekaboo with a toddler? Have you ever? It's kind of fun, right? So you take your hands and what do? You cover up your face, right? And then you go, woohoo, peekaboo, right? So everybody try it with me now. Come on, pretend like you're with a toddler. I'm a toddler by heart, right? Okay, cover your face. Say, peekaboo, yeah. See. Okay, now, usually when you do this with a toddler, right, what happens? They laugh, right? And I bet you $1 million that if they were around 9 months to 2 years old, even two, you could do that for as long as you wanted, right? And what? They will still laugh. They never get tired of peekaboo. It's amazing to me because I'm sure you guys get tired of peekaboo, right? But it's always neat to see how they're surprised. I mean, they see you putting your hands over your face, right? But it's like your face goes away, right? But then you go, peekaboo! They see your face again, right? And psychologists say that peekaboo is actually a developmental part in our brain where we know an object is there even though we can't see it. My friends, faith is believing without seeing. For so many years, the people of God waited for the Messiah. They didn't see him. And then one day, the face of God was before them. I'm going to close with a story, as you know I love to do. There's a website out there called... I'm going to get it wrong. I think Humans of New York. Have you heard of this website? It's this photographer, famous photographer, who goes around all of Manhattan and takes pictures. I've talked about him before in a sermon when he went overseas because I thought that was really cool. But yesterday, he was in, Washington Square Park, and he met this young lady, and he took a picture of her. And he's not this photographer that just takes pictures, because there are some of those that just capture everything in the picture that they want to say, right? But this gentleman is not just that. He also puts words that accompany the message. And he wants to tell the story of the people of New York, right? Did you see yesterday? Does anybody follow this like me? Okay. Well, there was this young girl that he took the picture of. And her story was about how she had lived in many different foster homes. She had not really had a good upbringing. I think something happened horribly to her parents and she ended up in the system. And then she said she would go to one place and maybe they didn't get along, right? Or she got kicked out or, you know, whatever, right? She said she lived in so many foster homes that she couldn't even list them. And she said that she thinks that part of herself, because she didn't really have a family or a home, right, kind of pushed people away as a self-defense. Have you ever known people to do that, right? So she would get to know people, and then as soon as she would feel scared that they would hurt her, right, or might care for her, instead of waiting for that to happen, she would, you know, push them away. And that's how she got often kicked out of the homes. And this is all from this one little paragraph that this guy wrote. It's amazing. And he said that she went to sleep one night and kind of believed that God had forgotten about her and that no one loved her. And I think to a deep degree, she believes that she did that to herself after a certain point, right? Because she pushed everybody away. But she definitely had been given some hard knocks, right? But she said, you know, there was this one woman. She was a counselor at one of the homes I was living in, and her name was Janelle. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night one night, after several nights of doing so, saying, nobody loves me, and God doesn't even know my name, and I don't have a home, and I don't have a family. And Janelle, this little angel, his face of God was made known to this girl, said, "Oh no, you are God's precious child, and he loves you. And life has thrown you some hard knocks, but don't you forget that God loves you and has a purpose for your life." And that was it, you know, the very poignant paragraph, right? But here's the cool thing. It's in the world of social media, right? And so somebody saw the picture and read it and saw Janelle's name and knew Janelle. And she, because everybody's on Facebook, was on Facebook, right? And her friend tagged her and said, "Did you see this? Is this you?" And sure enough, here's little Janelle. And she says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. I have been praying for you. Your name is in my journal since I met you. And I always knew you were something special in my book. And I am so proud of you and all that you've accomplished and in all that you've done." And in the next picture in the feed, right, is the young girl. And she says, "I've been clean and sober and I've graduated school and I have a job. And these are the keys to my own place." You can be the face of God to someone who needs him. Pay attention. Have your eyes open for signs where light needs to be impacting others. And my friends, I know not all of us have bonded together, and I know it's a season where we're saying goodbye to each other, but know that even though you can't see my face, that I'm still here. For I love you. And I will pray for you. And I thank God for you. And you have been a light in the face of God to me. For now and forevermore. Amen.